Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are about ready to enter a river of the greatest flow of God's healing in history. And that river, I believe, is being poured out right now on this show. As a matter of fact, I didn't even want to do my standard introduction because that's all I was hearing. There is a river of God's healing. And some of you can actually feel that river of God's healing. I have on the telephone Joan Hunter. Many of you are familiar with her parents, Charles and Frances Hunter, affectionately known as the Happy Hunters, that have just pioneered the healing ministry all over the world. And Joan was their Timothy for 30 years, and now God has given her her own ministry. So it's no wonder that there is such a flow of God's Spirit right now. And Joan, whatever God shows you, you do. I've just heard that there are people of with pain in their neck. If they will move their head or back, either one, or bend over right now, they're going to walk into what your parents refer to, and I'm referring to it as a healing explosion. Joan, do you have anything specific at this moment?
There's somebody else that's experiencing pain in your shoulder. In Jesus' name, that pain is cursed and commanded to go. Father, we just speak in new rotator cuffs. In Jesus' name, curse any of that arthritis in those shoulders in Jesus' name. And just bend your shoulders and raise your arm and bend your elbows, and you'll see it, just a tremendous difference. And the pain is gone in Jesus' name.
You know, one of the things you bring out in your book, Healing the Whole Man, is something that Jesus talks a lot about. It's got to do with compassion. And it's not necessary, but I find many of those that move in supernatural compassion come from a broken situation. And you certainly came from a broken situation. A pastor's wife for how many years?
18 years.
For 18 years, and then you found out he was unfaithful, and worse than that, not worse than that, but just to compound it in the area of homosexuality, I would have to imagine that had to be shame, embarrassment, brokenness, anger, every emotion imaginable.
And a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment. And
and right after the divorce, it took its toll. What happened to you?
Right, 2 days after the divorce, and here I'm having to divorce a man that I still loved and had stood by and by him and prayed for him and believed God, and got to the point where he just didn't want to give it up. And you know, and then two days after the divorce, diagnosed with breast cancer. And that was very devastating, you know.
Let me ask you something. You're just human. You've just gone through such a trauma, and you're diagnosed now with breast cancer. Was your answer, I'm going to fight that with a passion? Or was your answer, I'm about ready to throw in the towel?
Oh, no. I totally started planning and envisioning my funeral.
Oh, my goodness.
Get what I was going to wear, the flowers that I want. I was going to just, and I'm sitting there, you know, in shock, and all I'm seeing is this white casket with pink roses and what outfit I was going to wear and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like going, and I started slapping myself in the doctor's office. And it was like, you know, like, wake up. I mean, because I had no reason to live, I thought. And then I started realizing, and I said, you know, God will take me whether I die now or in 20 years, you know, or more. But I needed to live for my children. And I started slapping myself in the face and says, you are going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That death sentence that was just spoken over.
What did the doctor say?
It's all the, you know, there you can see the growth over here, and this is what it is, and blah, 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 blah. And most people usually have, with this kind of diagnosis, about 2 years left. And, you know, so I'm like going, okay, I've got 2 years to get my life in order, you know, and to plan, pre-plan the funeral and everything. And then you're just like, no, I choose life. I cut those words off, that death sentence that was spoken over me in Jesus' name. That those words that doctor has spoken over me will not come to fruition. And I had to be determined that I chose life. I was going to live. I was not going to die, but I was going to, and I am declaring the works of the Lord.
Okay, you said that. You broke the curse. How long did it take for it to manifest?
The next time I went in for the follow-up, which was going to make the decision whether, you know, what kind of surgery, you know, to remove it, and possible mastectomy, and try to stop it at that point. When I went back in, it was gone. Everything was gone. Even the scars from the biopsies are gone.
What'd the doctor say? How could a doctor even explain something like that?
They said, your Social Security number matches up, your name matches up, but your breast does not match up. And we're sorry for the problem, and we just request if you just go someplace else.
With what you have shared, the devastation you went through, the miracle you saw in your own life. Yesterday you shared the miracles for 30 years of being with your parents all over the world. I mean, what an education. But I see it as two things, not just an education, but sitting and soaking under that anointing.
It was awesome. I mean, it was just, I stand in awe, number one, of God using me and how he uses me. And I think of what a privilege it has been for so many years to not only see, you know, mom and dad in ministry, but to be closely with, you know, Marilyn Hickey and Oral Roberts and a lot of those people through the years. But so closely, like right at mom and dad's beck and call, you know, I was their armor bearer, basically, Timothy. And Elijah and Elisha. And the mantle is automatically picked up. And no matter what it is, because see, you become like what you are around. And it's important who you spend time with. If you spend time with negative people and this type of thing and all that, you cannot help but become negative. And when you're around faith-filled people and that really love God and they're always encouraging, and you know that's bound to have a positive effect on you.
When someone comes to you with a dread disease, heart trouble, cancer, AIDS, whatever, talk to me about compassion. What happens inside of you? When someone comes to you with this dread disease?
Every time I do an anointing or an impartation service, I pray for God to give them his heart, that they would love, you know, that he would love the people through them. And many times when I actually lay hands on somebody, I can feel their pain. I can't explain how I feel it or, you know, specifically, but I can tell that they have had a life of hell. And I can even tell some of the specifics that have happened. And because of that, it's like I went through it, and I have a greater heart of compassion when I pray for the people, as if I were praying with all earnesty for myself and or like my children.
And yet you've seen millions of people prayed for under your parents' ministry, millions of people healed under your parents' ministry. You've prayed for thousands. How do you stop looking at someone like a computer number?
I don't even know how to answer that, because they're not another number. I don't even have that in my mind. It's just one more person, one more person, one more person. They're not numbers. They're people that God has entrusted to me to represent him.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone listening to us right now had the same ability you have? What can they really and truly read this handbook of yours, where you list every disease? And I think it's phenomenal, because you also list there's roots, specific roots for specific diseases. You tell how to pray. You tell what to do with the person. You even impart a section so they can figure out what their vision is. Can they really heal the sick if they get your book, Healing the Whole Man Handbook?
I've seen thousands upon thousands of people that have gotten the book, and they're in full-time ministry now, healing ministry. It doesn't matter where your paycheck comes from. We are in the full-time healing ministry wherever we go, whether it's to the superstores, to the grocery stores. You know, I was at a major superstore, you know, the other day, and the lady had a carpal tunnel band on, and she doesn't need it anymore, just at the regular store.
When you have a healing meeting, what percentage of the people that you pray for end up being healed?
The visible healings, like cancer, you can't tell.
Right.
Pain may be gone, you know, et cetera. Many, many times, it's like you go home and it's like, you know, the team that was there with me, I said, do you know of anybody that wasn't healed? And they're like going, I don't know of anybody that wasn't healed. And it's absolutely awesome what happened in services. Absolutely awesome.
Well, there's such a wonderful healing anointing that is just going over the airwaves right now. You see, I know that people that are listening to me are dealing with specific physical diseases. And a specific disease, as you've explained to me off the air, Joan, you get better results if you find the specific opening that has allowed that disease and get rid of it through prayer. Well, you make it so easy. As a matter of fact, this book is a very simple book. Did you do that intentionally?
Man and theology has made healing hard. There's nothing in the Word of God that says healing is hard. Jesus took stripes on his back so that we could be healed. He died on the cross that we could be saved. We just need to take full use of both of those.
Okay, look, we're out of time right now. I want you to get this book. Trust me on this one. There's things you have never even thought, let alone heard of before. The title of the book is Healing the Whole Man. Donation, $22. Call or write today. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.